You started, and you have a tremendous story, and I'm super excited to get into that. You started with really nothing, and you built yourself, you built your business, and by the age of 32, you were a millionaire. Can you tell us a little bit about that, about how exactly you went from nothing to becoming a millionaire by 32?
Yeah, I actually was a millionaire by 24, a multimillionaire by 32. But the way that I got there was an insatiable desire that I must be what I can be, and also a thirst to make money. Unfortunately, I was aligned with making money for the wrong reasons. I always say that money doesn't buy you happiness, but it allows you to shop. And if you shop for the right things for the right reasons, it'll buy you plenty of happiness, joy, passion, and purpose. But if you buy things for the wrong reason, you're going to have to go back to the beginning and start over, which is what happened to me. So I grew up with a single mom, six kids in Akron, Ohio. All of them, like you, went to the Ivy Leagues. My mom believed doctor, lawyer, or failure. Fetus wasn't fully developed till after graduate school. My mom believed that as long as education was primary and then waking your kids up early, 5 a.m., that everything else would take care of itself. And so I was a little bit resistant to my mom's philosophies. I simply wanted to make a lot of money so I could help her with the only thing I saw her struggle with, which is finances. And anytime I saw or caught my mom crying, it was because something broke or we couldn't afford to do something. And so in my mind, from the early age of five, when my dad left me and my mom was driving around packing my dinner in a paper bag between her two jobs as a second grade teacher and filling up turnstiles at convenience stores with greeting cards just so we could eat, I put every effort into, I'm going to take the opportunities that pay the most. So initially, it was going to be a professional football player. I played college football, got ran over my very first game, realized that wasn't going to happen for me. Wanted to be a doctor. My older brother looked at me when I visited him at the hospital and asked me what's the matter. I told him I hate hospitals. So all you young dreamers out there, make sure you listen to my brother's lesson, because when I told him I hated hospitals, he almost fell over. He's like, what do you mean you're going to be a doctor? I was 18 years old. I said, well, I'm not going to be a hospital doctor. I'm going to be a sports doctor. I'll be on sidelines and locker rooms. And he gave me this great piece of advice. He said, David, you need to be more interested than interesting. And so I quickly changed from pre-med to pre-law and ended up going to Tulane Law School very intentionally because they had the most maritime lawyer graduates and oil and gas litigators made the most money out of law school. So once again, aligned with my purpose, I went to Tulane Law School to be an oil and gas litigator. Then my oil and gas professor, who got me a job for $150,000 a year in 1992 plus bonus, also told me I should try to get this other job selling in 1992 legal research on the internet. And it paid $250,000 a year. So I didn't care, even though everyone around me, and this is another great lesson for your community, my mom told me that it would be the biggest mistake of my life to get involved in the internet. She told me I was an idiot for not being a real lawyer, made me take the bar just in case it wasn't going to work out. She told me the internet was a fad. At the same time, Justice Scalia of the Supreme Court told me nobody would ever do research on a computer. You needed books. So the lesson that I learned that's so important is we should appreciate everybody, especially those people who love us the most, we should appreciate their advice. But it doesn't mean just because they love us doesn't mean they give us good advice. My mom knew nothing about the internet. Justice Scalia obviously knew nothing about the internet. And so just because someone loves you doesn't mean they give you good advice. I ended up 9 months out of law school taking the internet job, made my first $1 million by the time I was 25. And continued to pursue my skills, my knowledge, and my desires by aligning those with what was doing well, what was stable, and what I thought would be doing well according to my skills, knowledge, and desires, not any other purpose than to make a lot of money. So I didn't care. I would have shoveled shit with my hands 6 days a week if somebody offered me $1 million a year to do that. not a problem because I wanted to make the most amount of money. I did buy my mom a house and a car, continue to buy more houses and more cars until I started running Lee Steinberg Sports Entertainment, the most notable sports agency in the world by the time I was in my mid-30s.
And so you've attained all that success throughout your 20s and early 30s. And then after that, you went bankrupt. What happened?
Great question. So I lost over $100 million and I did have some warnings, but what really happened was I stopped living by the values that my mom taught me. She taught me to be grateful, to find light, love, and lessons in everything and everyone. She taught me to be forgiving, to give ease to my life. She taught me to be accountable, to ask myself, what am I supposed to learn from my responsibility, from my attraction, from my participation in the perception? And finally, she taught me to be inspired by effectively communicating with others, but also with God, in her opinion, whether you're religious, spiritual, philosophical, or theoretical. I say, you need to learn that there is an all-knowing, an omniscient, and all-powerful source, and you're a resource of that source. You got to figure out what you're doing to interfere with it, because that source, that God, Jesus, Muhammad, Joseph Smith, Buddha, whatever you believe in, is there to protect you, promote you, love, and perfect you, not punish you. And so I lost sight of my values. And then the second thing I did is I stopped asking for help. If I just would have asked people for help, if I just would have been humble, my favorite quote for everyone out there, my favorite piece of advice, you're either humble or you're about to be. And at 57, I still feel that I'm either humble or I'm about to be.
How did you bounce back from that very difficult point in your life?
I don't really think it was a bounce back. For me, it was an expansion. I started to have not only wisdom asking for help, but I also had faith. I believe it was wisdom and faith that shortened the distance of resistance that I was creating in my life. And faith is non-religious, non-philosophical, theoretical, spiritual. For me, faith is pragmatic as best options should be. Meaning that nobody can prove to me religiously, philosophically, theoretically, or spiritually that there is a omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, infinite, abundant, unified system. Nobody can prove that. So faith for me is simply, what's my best option in my human experience? And so I don't have to waste time trying to define anything or argue anything with anyone. I believe we're all one, and the best option I have is there's something that has all the information I need, something that has all the energy I need to live to my potential, and it protects me, promotes me, loves and perfects me more than my mom. So what allowed me to expand into a better life, a better position, and a better situation was I took inventory of my skills, knowledge, and desire, realigned it with what's doing well, what's stable, and what I think is doing well, my industry, career, job, asked for a ton of help, and had faith that the detours that would arrive in my life were divine and just as divine as the direction in the time that it was going to take me to get to where I wanted to be or better. And that's how I've been able to make more money, help more people, and have more fun over the last 17 years since I lost over $100 million.
So with that new set of values or that renewed sense of purpose, you've become a tremendously successful businessman, philanthropist, an author. And like we said before, you've dedicated your life to inspiring and empowering over a billion people to be happy. What would you say is the key to happiness? How can people truly be happy?
It involves two things. One, the perspective that you can learn to enjoy. See, a lot of people, they don't realize that you can learn to enjoy the things you don't like or love, the things other people don't like or love. You see, if you enjoy and learn to enjoy the things you don't like or love or other people don't like or love, and you can be consistent in that pursuit of your own potential, you will never lack the commitment to get to where you want to be. And life will tell you all its secrets. You know the old saying, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. Bullshit. I love what I do. It's work, bro. What I teach people is, hey, let's learn to enjoy what you don't like or don't love. Let's learn to enjoy what you would define as work and do it consistently every day, persistently without quit in the pursuit of your potential, not what other people want, not what you're missing, not what you don't have, but what you want, clearly defined by the divine direction that you choose, knowing that it's the meaning of the past that will limit you in your self-image, and you never will overachieve your own self-image. And so many people limit themselves because of the mistakes, setbacks, failures, defining moments, historical relevances. They're irrelevant. It doesn't matter. As long as you give the meaning, the lesson to it, and align it with where you want to be or better, you're going to have divine direction. The detours will become divine, and you'll have the patience and humility to allow divine time to give you the revelation of the lesson of exactly how something as horrible as losing everything, including your mom's house, when you only wanted to be rich to buy her house, could actually be promotion, protection, love, and perfection, not punishment. If I didn't lose everything, I would have ended up dead.
And so how does that translate to an actionable item that the youth can adopt today? So take me, for example. I'm 21 years old. I'm a senior at Harvard. What can I do today that will make me a happier person next year? Or is that too short a timeline, or perhaps even in 5 or 10 years?
Look, I believe in infinite time, and I believe in direction, not equating linear time to any happiness or any outcome that you desire. And so the first thing is daily practices. And so whether you're 21, 31, 41, 51, or 61, the way the conscious continuum is created is through daily practices. The cellular memory leads to the subconscious mind, which is repetitive in nature. Most people, 80% of the thoughts you have that you're reinforcing are negative. And then that's articulated to an epigenetic layer of your actual energetic and genetic inheritance, your code. And I actually can utilize practices, daily practices, what you're willing to do consistently. And so I divide my practices into non-negotiable practices and negotiable circumstantial practices. And so non-negotiables say that no matter what circumstances arise every day, that I'm going to sleep a minimum of 7 hours, an hour on my health, an hour with my family, minimum time with my finance, minimum time with my faith, minimum time studying relativity, minimum amount of time studying time. And so all you need to do is, and I'm happy, by the way, to send to your entire audience my 5 daily practices that say every day, know your what. You're welcome. David@dmeltzer.com, right there. David@dmeltzer.com. I'll send it in with a book. If you want, I'll sign it, ship it to you, pay for that too. Don't worry. I love supporting my students. So anyway, know your what you want in your divine direction, know who you can help, know how best to get it done by using time, negotiable and non-negotiable, planned, unplanned, paid for, unpaid for, and your sleep. If you don't have a sleep coach or you're not studying sleep, you're not going to be as effective as for a third of your life. I want to be in the Hall of Fame of sleep. Then the other tool that I teach you in the 4th daily practice is know your now, which is prioritization. Prioritization is the antidote which troubles every Harvard student. Well, actually every person. And prioritization is the antidote to feeling overwhelmed and procrastinating. And so it's impossible. If you know what to do now and know what to do next, you're not going to procrastinate and you won't feel overwhelmed. You may not get everything done, but that's okay. That's just illustrating the blessing of being abundant, that you got more than enough options, opportunities, and touches of favor. Why are you using that as a negative? Why are you using that as punishment? Why are you using that as resistance when it should be a blessing that you have more options, opportunities, and touches of favor? You just need to prioritize the ones according to circumstances of today or your non-negotiable prioritization of the past. And then finally, I am wealthy. I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? Go back, read Kierkegaard, understand, of course, existentialism, but more importantly, understand math. That if you're part of an infinite, abundant, unified system full of wisdom and faith, then you must just be interfering with it, especially considering it's protecting, promoting love and perfecting. We're humans creating a human experience in an infinite time zone. And so when we realize that the gifts that we're given to be here, you're given a body, you're going to learn lessons. The lessons will keep on coming till you learn them. You're going to forget every lesson you've ever learned, even if you went to Harvard, but you have the power to remember it. If you utilize these 5 daily practices and that type of perception, I promise you, you'll make a lot of money, you'll help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun.
What is one piece of advice that changed your life?
Ask for help. I tell myself, I wrote it on my nightstand because I still can't believe I forget to ask for help. And that's the fastest way to get to where I want to be. Plus, it makes the other person, if they're capable of helping me, unbelievably happy.
No, other than focusing on one's happiness, what are three important things that someone my age should do to best prepare them to succeed in the future?
Do your best, number one, or whatever you want to do. Just do your best. That doesn't mean give 100%, right? You just do your best at whatever you want to do. Learn lessons. Look for the light, the love, and the lessons. Learn lessons. And most importantly, have fun. Enjoy it. So do your best, learn lessons, and have fun.
And I've heard you say somewhere else the importance of having a good spouse and surrounding yourself with the right people.
Yeah. My new book, Simon Schuster, is going to launch it in the fall. It's called Don't Do Business with Dicks, not Dick's Sporting Goods. So it's about surrounding yourself with the right people, the right ideas. If you want three pieces of advice on just basic life, find the best spouse you can find, an intimate partner. That'll be the liaison between you and everyone in your life. Two, learn to enjoy what you do for economic gain, activity you get paid for. And then three, buy the best bed you can find. You'll spend a third of your life in bed, a third of your life in activity you get paid for, and a third of your life with your family and friends. So that's another piece of advice I could give.
This has been so awesome. Like I told you in the beginning of when you first came on, I started the podcast in large part because of you, because I listened to you. And so it truly is a tremendous honor to have you on, to have the opportunity to speak with you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on.
I can't wait to do what you do next, Michael. I am here to be of service and value to you, the Harvard community. I look forward to seeing you in person. We're going to come to Boston. We're going to have a Harvard meetup. So all your friends and everybody can come do a Q&A live session with me. We have a VIP dinner. We'll invite everyone too. So please email me if you want the guys or books, david@dmeltzer.com.
I really appreciate it.
I will share it as well, man. Congratulations. Keep up the great work.